This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. This 28th day of April, as the month just flies by here. Hard to believe. And we're happy you're with us. It's going to be a gorgeous day this afternoon. I think highs in the 80s. So you got something to look forward to as you get up and get out the door this morning. It's going to be one of those weird days. Like I put a golf pullover on this morning over a short sleeve shirt because by this afternoon, it's going to be in the mid-80s, and right now it's still in the 50s. So nice and brisk out the door, but it's going to warm up nicely today. You excited about that, Kim?
Very.
Yeah, should be nice. We can get out and enjoy it. Enjoy the Blues victory, tying things up this weekend. That was great. I didn't get to see it. My son went to that game.
Oh, really? I saw the end of it.
Yeah, he bought tickets at the last minute, and
how much were those tickets going for?
Well, you know, they didn't pay that much. Maybe 60 or 70 bucks.
Really?
But they were in the nosebleed section. I mean, they just wanted to be in the building. And like you could see the ceiling, like in the shot he sent me, you could see the ceiling above his head, like they were way up there. But they got to be there for a smashing victory for the Blues yesterday. Boy, man, they need to do that on the road.
Well, I'm feeling more and more hopeful because remember the first game, I think it was, they were winning. I believe it was going into the third period.
Yeah.
And then Winnipeg came back and scored like three goals in the last period. So, I mean, I feel pretty good about it right now. I don't want to put the cart before the horse.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I shouldn't have even said that.
We'll get Ackerman in here this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. He's much more of an expert on all of that than I am, certainly, but I'm hoping that they've kind of got the head in the right direction for sure. You know, one thing I did notice, because I'm not a hockey guy, but one thing I've started paying attention to is shots on goal. And if you look, at one point in the third period, the Blues were up 3-1, maybe. I think they won 5-1, didn't they?
They did win 5-1.
So at one point when they were up like 3-1, I look at shots on goal. And Winnipeg had 10, 12, maybe more shots on goal than the Blues did at that point. So clearly Bennington, or whoever was in goal for him yesterday, was crushing it. They were getting a lot of shots on goal and not scoring, and the Blues were much more efficient in terms of scoring goals with fewer shots on goal. So good for them. That's got to be a good trend, no doubt about it. By the way, if you're watching, Ethan, if you're watching, we're getting the socials up right now. I just saw them pop up on X and all that stuff. Ignore the sign over Ethan's shoulder. It is not the Mark Reardon show this morning. It's the Mark Cox show. That's okay. No, you don't have to change it right now. I'm just giving
you a change on.
I just happened to look up and notice there's a black sign on the wall behind Ethan this morning. I'm like, what is that? I got some new signage. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
That's because the last person didn't help us out.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Okay.
We always switch over for the next show.
So who would that have been? Would that have been Hall of Famer Fred Bottomer?
No.
Oh, Okay.
Fred's great. I guarantee just, Fred didn't do it.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I should have had it changed over. I've just been running around crazy this morning.
Lucky Reard, man. That dude is off for a week and a half. He's in Greece, I think, on a trip for with some of his listeners. That ought to be a good time. In fact, I've got some friends that were going on that trip with him, and I'm excited for them because that's going to be a good time. We're going to Europe in the fall with a group of people who traveled with me last year. To Central Europe. That's going to be a great trip. I think there are still two spots left. I've got the details up on the Facebook page, but if you're interested, DM me and I can give you details on that. It's going to be like a 12-day trip to the central part of Europe, Prague, Vienna, Budapest. Ought to be a fantastic time. I still want to see Greece. That is on my bucket list, is Greece. Maybe be a cruise or just going and hanging out there. I've got my friend Nick is from there and has been back to visit many times over the years, and the pictures are just absolutely incredible. Coming up, we're going to get to Hans von Spakovsky. And, of course, Hans is the senior legal fellow for the Heritage Foundation. I have to tell you, watching the left meltdown over this judge being frog marched out of the courthouse has been one of the highlights of my weekend. Can I just tell you that? Because every network you tune into, from the turncoat Andy McCabe over at CNN, former assistant director to the FBI who oversaw the persecution and prosecution and investigation of Russian collusion when he knew it wasn't true. How that guy's not in jail, I have no idea. Even Andy McCabe said, well, what she did was clearly a violation of the law, but it was overkill to publicly march her out of the courthouse in handcuffs. They shouldn't have done that. This is the man that wanted to frog march Donald Trump into prison for a false accusation of Russian collusion, but he's mad that they're disciplining a judge who broke the law. I've got sound from CNN this morning with MSNBC, I'm sorry, with a political analyst who breaks down everything the judge did wrong. And you can hear the MSNBC anchor in the background going, but like she couldn't believe this woman was dismantling her entire argument of why the judge shouldn't have been arrested. But everything she did was wrong. And finally, people are being held accountable to this. I love the memes this weekend, Kim, where people would repost all of the tweets from Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer that no one is above the law. Remember all those tweets they used to put out all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, isn't that funny how that comes back to bite you? No one, including this, the best picture of all was the shot of her from her judgeship in her black robe next to the mugshot where she was crying. That was my favorite. I'm sorry to seem cruel by that, but honestly, that was the best picture I saw this weekend because she thought she could get away with it. And up until now, under previous administration, she was able to get away with it. And somebody stepped in and said, what you did here was a violation of the law. The ICE agents had every right to arrest that guy. It's been common practice when they walk out of the courtroom through the front door. You knew it, and you walked and you let him sneak out the back to get away. So she deserves to be stripped of her judgeship, and she may end up spending some time in jail over it. So we'll talk to Hans about that particular case coming up here at around 6:20 this morning. I promise you we'll get to that. Ethan, right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Nike is apparently funding a study that disfigures young boys to understand if they can be physically impaired enough to compete with girls without significant retained male advantage.
Wow. Riley Gaines kind of exposing the left for what they are, freaks. This is the kind of stuff they're wasting their money on. And if she's right and Nike is funding it, what happens next?
There are 18 important trading partners, and we have a process in place over the next 90 days to negotiate with them. Some of those are moving along very well, especially with the Asian countries.
Scott Bessent, absolutely. Like, Kristen Welker didn't know what to do with him this weekend. He absolutely dismantled all of her arguments about how horrible things are going on trade.
Make sure that you're not trying to arrest and deport students that are on campus trying to exercise their First Amendment rights. Make sure that you're not having my grandmother killed because you're trying to cut Social Security.
Yeah, this is, again, part of Project Let Them Speak. This is a congresswoman I've never heard of before. Camlager Dove is her last name. It's hyphenated. That tells you all you need to know. And she wants you to think that her grandmother is going to die because Donald Trump's about to cut out all of her Social Security.
We got the most secure border in the history of this nation thanks to President Trump's out-of-the-box thinking. He's a game changer. I said on day one. He proves to me every day why he's the greatest president in my lifetime.
Yep, Tom Homan. You probably recognize that voice by now. That guy, man, is doing a fantastic job. He's a bulldog. He goes on every network where they request him. He's not hiding from them, and they can't stand it. They can't stand it. And now this story that's broken this morning, or late yesterday, the left has decided this is their next line of attack. Great Odin's Raven. The Trump administration is deporting American citizens along with their illegal parents. This is the biggest joke I've ever heard in my life. And Marco Rubio completely schooled the people at ABC yesterday. Completely schooled the people at ABC yesterday. They're like, how could you deport American citizens with no due process? Guess what? They didn't deport American citizens. They deported their mothers who had legal orders of deportation. Now, can you imagine the headline if they had separated the mothers from their children?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the problem the first time around, remember?
Were the fathers already deported or they just weren't in the picture? Because I heard the same thing, that there was the mothers and the children.
Rubio's like, if they've got relatives or parents, a parent here in the United States who's legal, they're perfectly able to leave the children with that parent. Or if they are out of the country and they want to send them back to that parent, they can do that. They're American citizens. We're not in the process of separating families.
Well, that is something that, so that's true, because I heard that Rubio was trying to clarify that.
Yes.
But that is something that Trump is trying to change, which has gotten pushback, is this whole notion of the dreamers, right? Where you're born here in the United States and you're automatically a citizen and granted all those rights, because the concern would be that these illegals are coming across the border to have the children to get them the citizenship. And then hoping that that's enough to, you know, coax a judge into saying, well, you should keep us together here in the United States.
It's not a dreamer issue. It's an anchor baby issue. The dreamers are people who are brought here as children. The issue now is anchor babies. These babies were born here to illegal mothers who then wanted to use them as anchors to stay in the country. Well, that's not how it works. And I love that the administration is pointing that out here very clearly. All right. I went over just a little bit. Let's get to a quick break. And Ethan, who's got our national anthem today?
In honor of the Blues' big win, let's go Jeremy Boyer.
All right.
Is it the U.S. policy to deport children, even U.S. citizens, with their families? And I hear what you're saying, without due process. Just to be very clear there.
Well, no. Again, if someone's in this country unlawfully, illegally, mm-hmm. that person gets deported. If that person is with a two-year-old child or has a two-year-old child and says, I want to take my child with me, well, then what? You have two choices. You can say, yes, of course you can take your child, whether they're a citizen or not, because it's your child. Or you can say, yes, you can go, but your child must stay behind. And then your headlines would read, U.S. holding hostage two-year-old, four-year-old, seven-year-old while mother deported. So the mother, the parents make that choice. I imagine those three U.S. citizen children have fathers here in the United States. Yeah. They can stay with their father. That's up to their family to decide where the children go. Children go with their parents. Parents decide where their children go. Right. The U.S. deported their mothers who were illegally in America.
Yeah. Thank you, Marco Rubio, for spelling that out. this blows the whole anchor baby issue out of the water, that you can't come here and drop a kid and then suddenly claim that you have legal protection to stay in this country. It can't work that way. That was never what it was designed for to begin with. And I pray that the Trump administration gets their way in court, because I think the court's going to look at this at the intent of the law, that you have to hold it up against what the intent was, and that was about slavery when it was passed, about people that were brought here against their will. That's what it was about. It's not about people intentionally coming here to have children just so they can get the golden ticket of U.S. citizenship. We've made that too easy. And that's what we've seen here in this case. So I love that Rubio explained it that way. That don't try to make this a tearing little children. If they were taking the kids away, it would be pictures of Trump ICE officials tearing little children from their mother's grasp just before they're thrown onto a plane and deported to Nicaragua, wherever they were sent.
Honduras, I think.
Honduras.
Yeah. Well, and think about this, too. Weren't some of these kids 2 and 4 years old? So that just tells you how long they've been in the country illegally. Maybe they had a court date and it was, 5 years down the road and probably had no plans to even show up to it anyway.
Of course not. Of course not. And again, this didn't happen in a vacuum. They went through due process. There was a deportation hearing where these women were deported. They were given legal orders of deportation, just like the judge was trying to ignore up in Wisconsin? Where was the judge who was arrested?
New Mexico.
Is that where she was?
I feel like okay. It was New Mexico. I can't remember.
I've got the story here. I'll look it up. It's irrelevant what state it was in. What she did was illegal, and she's being held accountable for it, and it sends a shot across the bow of all of these other left-wing progressive activists. Here's what you need to understand about this judge. Before becoming a judge, she ran the Catholic charities in her area, and her focus was on helping illegal immigrants avoid the law before she became a judge. So, of course, now that she's a judge, she's still trying to help illegal immigrants avoid the law.
Wisconsin, by the way.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
I'm thinking
it was
up north. See, there's too many judges who are corrupt that I'm
right.
confusing them, because the other judge who was housing illegals, wasn't he the New Mexico one?
Yeah, the other one's in Wisconsin.
There's too many. Yeah, the judges just need to chill out. I can't keep them straight.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem this morning. We got judges all over the place trying to help out illegals. But it looks to me like the warning has been sent over the bow that we're not going to let you get away with this at all. All right, coming up, we'll get to Kim on a whim here in just a couple of minutes. Can't wait to get to Hans on this judge issue, because nothing she did was legal, and she needs to be smacked down for it, and she needs to be removed from the bench. We're going to get to all that and more coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Kim on a whim.
Imagine if you were able to lessen your baby's odds of, say, developing cancer or having vision loss or having any sort of a disability or birth defect. Now, wouldn't that be amazing, right? Don't we all want to have healthy children and feel confident knowing that they're going to grow up and not, be dealing with all these terrible diseases that are running rampant in our country?
Well, I mean, I think everybody wants their kids to be healthy, but I think that's a very dangerous slope to try to pick and choose in advance what God has already decided.
Well, exactly. And that's the question you have to ask, is how far are you willing to go to do that? We all want that, but it's, of course, now what these companies are trying to achieve and promise parents that they can do. So IVF, obviously very popular. I could talk about that on a separate Kim on a Whim, because that's been getting a lot of debate lately. But there's this company that I just heard of for the very first time called Orchid. And basically what they're doing is they screen these embryos' DNA for hundreds of different conditions. And they basically give it to the parents, and they allow them to pick and choose which ones they feel would be best. Listen to the founder of this company, Orchid, talking about a little bit about how this works.
Compare, okay, let me look at embryo 2 versus embryo 3. So you can see that they're both chromosomally normal, and then now you start getting into these monogenic panels. So we can look at hundreds of genes that cause neurodevelopmental disorders, birth defects, hereditary cancer, microduplications and deletions. So these are all single gene or monogenic typos that cause really serious diseases. You can compare embryo 2 to embryo 3 and say, okay, look, fortunately, we just avoided risk for hundreds of diseases that otherwise you wouldn't have been able to detect until after the baby was born.
This just goes too far.
Kim, are you telling me that they create the embryo in a petri dish, take this test, and then decide if they don't like the potential risk that this embryo carries, they just destroy it?
So, of course, they don't specifically talk about that on the website because that doesn't sound
no,
great. But that has to be what they're doing.
Well, you're not selecting the egg ahead of time and the sperm ahead of time and determining that if these two come together, this is what's going to happen, because that would be impossible. You have to wait till the egg is fertilized to get to check the DNA of that egg, right?
Which is so funny to me because I watched this like 8 or 9 minute story where the founder of this company, Orchid, goes and talks to the first couple. Well, it's the mom.
Noor Siddiqui?
That's the founder, but yeah. She went and talked to the woman who had the first orchid baby, I guess is what they're calling it. And it's funny because the mom holds up a picture of the embryo and she's like, oh, this was you at five days old. And so it's funny because the mom probably didn't even realize that she was acknowledging that this is a life. It hadn't been implanted yet. She was acknowledging that even at that stage,
it was a life.
That life mattered. This is you. You know, now you're 3 months old.
And if we just snuff that out, mm-hmm. we're not ending a life, is what they want you to believe.
Right.
I read one of the quotes from the article, and I listened to Noor Siddiqui. Clearly, this is a book smart person who could start a company like this. Mm-hmm. She's quoted here as saying, I think basically sex is for fun and embryo screening is for babies. And I think it's going to become insane not to screen for these things. So in other words, Noor Siddiqui thinks that she should step into the process between you and God and your children.
Mm-hmm. She thinks,
right?
This is the future. Because with IVF, and I've looked this up, with IVF, my understanding is you have some say in the gender. With this, you would be, like you just heard her talking, I mean, you would compare embryo 2 to embryo 3 and embryo 4 to embryo 5, and you could determine which one has the best odds. I mean, go to the website orchidhealth.com, and they list all these different things that they screen for. So, for example, like breast cancer, heart defects, Alzheimer's disease, schizophrenia, breast cancer, prostate cancer, type 1 and type 2 diabetes, celiac disease. You really could never definitively say this for sure will guarantee that your child will never develop this, because a lot of this is a product of our environment. It's a product of food and chemicals we're exposed to, stress levels. I mean, there's just so many other factors that can play into this. So sure, you could even sit here with this technology and say, oh, this will lessen the chances of this child ever developing this. But ultimately, you can never guarantee it. And if someone's telling you that they can guarantee it, run the other direction.
Where is the due process for the babies?
Yeah, they don't get due process, right? Due process only for illegals, Mark.
Because if she acknowledges, hey, this was you when you were 5 days old, she's acknowledging that it's a life, mm-hmm. at which point it's a United States citizen, because the parents are both United States citizens. So therefore, where's that baby's due process? Who gets to step in and speak for the baby?
Mm-hmm.
The mother? The father, the courts. I can't. I'm shocked. This is not. I think of eugenics as the Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, or the predecessor of Planned Parenthood, was trying to get eugenics to eliminate certain races.
Mm-hmm.
She was trying to do it to eliminate races. In this case, we're claiming we can now use it for good because we're just using it to eliminate diseases. Mm-hmm. But don't you see the power that you're taking away from your creator, your maker, when you
right.
step into that? Either way, I mean, it's bad. Either way is horrible.
Right. And I just think, and Cynthia's making this point on Facebook about children with Down syndrome. And sure, I would imagine that those children would prefer to not have Down syndrome. But I mean, I know somebody whose son had Down syndrome. They lived across the street from us. And I mean, they will regularly, or did at least regularly, talk about how much they taught him. They taught them, I mean, about love. And that's what Cynthia's saying about children who have Down syndrome. I mean, you can learn so much from them. Their zest for life and the way they love others despite what they're going through. And I just, how do they feel? How does somebody with a disability feel when people are talking about this? I feel like they would have to think, wow, my life, I would be better off if I were never born. My mom and dad wish they could have discarded me.
I mean, it's a separate issue, but it's not. Because when you hear RFK talking about wanting to end autism, and the left in this country hates Donald Trump and his appointees so much that they try to turn the discussion to whether or not RFK is encouraging people or is insulting kids with autism. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's goal for their child would be for that child to be autistic, right? But if you know there's a chemical in our food or our processed food or our water that is causing that to happen, why? That's a totally different issue. What's wrong with trying to fix that? That's after the fact. The child is born, right, and environmental issues are influencing whether or not they had autism. It's not anything that's happening in the womb, mm-hmm, because if it was, we'd have had plenty of autistic children 50 years ago,
right,
when I was little, but you didn't see it back then.
It's this comparing apples to oranges. I've heard people making that argument with what RFK Jr. has been talking,
yes,
about, and it doesn't even fit at all. You're talking about removing dyes from our food, and somehow people think that you're trying to hate on people with autism. Why would you not want that out of your food?
Take
even the autism aspect out of it. Like, don't you want that stuff out of your food? Who wants to have that?
The local media was even covering this story. I saw it on Channel 4 yesterday, interviewing a parent of a child with autism. My heart breaks. I've been blessed that my children have not been impacted by that, or even my grandchildren. But it's not about trying to discriminate against people with autism. I mean, mm-hmm, that's when I hear that ad, you should hire people with autism. It brings a new diversity to your workforce and all that. You know, good for you. You can go out and make that argument all you want. But if you were given the choice to avoid it to begin with, my guess is most parents would vote to avoid that to begin with. But that's not talking about destroying the child. Mm-hmm. That's talking about removing something from our environment after your healthy baby is born that leads to autism. We have to figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm. What were the parents saying on that Channel 4 story? I missed it.
It was a very defensive interview. And I got the impression listening to it that it was defensive in the belief that people were out there criticizing children with autism. I don't think that's it at all. I don't think that's at all what RFK is saying, or anybody, mm-hmm, in the department. That's just not what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's about, let's get to the root of this and fix it.
It's not just autism, by the way. There's a lot of other issues that they believe, these dyes or other chemicals that are in our food and some of these cleaners we use in our homes, that they're having an impact on different areas of our health. So he's just using autism as an example because the rates have, you know, gone through the roof.
Yeah, it's a wow. What food for thought. That story, by the way, if you want to read more about it on this orchid story, is in the Daily Signal. DailySignal.com has a link of this up there. Should parents discard embryos at high risk for cancer or obesity or celiac disease? Or there's just a whole variety of ways you could go on there and create a designer baby. But to do that, you have to kill the rest of them.
I don't know what else they would do with these other embryos. It has to be.
Right.
They just
right.
don't want to talk about that on the company's website because that doesn't look good. But that has to be what is going on.
Well, there would be plenty of families that who haven't been able to conceive that might be willing to take those embryos and raise them as their own, but would there be honesty in advertising if they did that?
Oh, by the way, we screened this embryo and turns out it has a high risk for cancer.
Parent doesn't want it.
Imagine growing up and finding out that you were discarded and given to another family because you had a higher risk for X, Y, or Z, whatever.
Wow. Yeah, that's mind-bending stuff this morning, Kim. Thank you. Coming back, we're going to talk about me. I'm going to talk about me on my show here in just a minute because I got to go hang out with Bo Matthews and Mike Martz, the former Rams coach, and a bunch of people this weekend at an event. And I'm a winner. I just want to tell you that. I just want to brag about myself a little bit this morning. I won, Kim.
Did you really?
I won.
That's awesome. And, no, that really is cool.
It's completely a fluke, but I'm going to talk about it when we
it
come
was
back.
Your skills, Mark.
In just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. They sit around the house, get high and watch a tune.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just going to throw that out there. So on Friday, I left the show here and drove down to Eureka, beautiful Eureka, Missouri, and took part in the Eureka Chamber of Commerce Sporting Clay event. I was invited by Chuck Mayer, who was on the chamber down there, and my friend Bo Matthews invited me down, and I went and I was able to shoot on a team with them. And, you know, sporting clothes is a unique event, Kim, because unlike shooting trap or shooting skeet, where you're shooting at clay pigeons that you know are going in one of five directions, like particularly with trap, and then with skeet, the birds, the clay pigeons kind of cross each other, and you have to try to shoot both of them. With sporting clays, you never really, every station is different. You shoot 100 different shots. You shoot 100 shots in sporting clays, and every station, the birds are coming from a different direction. Some of them are bouncing along the ground like a rabbit. Others are flying, you know, high up over your head, sideways. I mean, it's unlike anything you do on a normal day if you go shooting. Even if you're like a bird hunter or something, it's nothing you can really practice because the shots are different all the time. And I got to be on the team with my friend Chuck and Bo and Joe. And Joe brings along his father-in-law, who happens to be Mike Martz, the former Rams coach. He was shooting with us, which was pretty cool to get to talk to him a little bit about the draft and all that stuff. And guess who ended up winning the tournament? Moi.
That's awesome. Moi. How many people were there, you think?
I got four. I'm just kidding. Top shot award. I got That's the cool. big shot award. I actually won the whole thing. Now, I didn't do bad. I was sort of on it. I'll admit that. It was one of the better days I've had shooting that particular event. But I have I scored a 72, I think, was my final score. And I have been to these events where some of these guys shoot in the 90s. They break 90 out of 100 birds. Obviously, those guys didn't show up Friday. So the guy that shot a 72 won for the best shooter at this particular event. I'm going to take that and run with it because
that's pretty good.
You know, you got to show, you got to compete. You got to be in the race to win. And by golly, I was in the race and I won. And I won like a weekend getaway at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Did you really?
It was pretty awesome, yeah.
How did Michelle respond to that?
She was very excited about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder what Lamplighter. That's a pretty great gift.
Lamplighter Resort down at the Lake of the Ozarks, and I'm going to get to go down there and spend a long weekend.
So. Now you can just say, look, honey, I'm winning us, you know, great trips. I have to compete in this. I have no choice.
I told you that very expensive shotgun would pay off at some point down the road. Forget the fact that it cost three times the amount that the trip to the Lake of the Ozarks will cost. It was still well worth it.
You better win a lot more trips than to make up for that.
I know. I've got to win a few more of those. So I'm going to have to get my friends down in Eureka to kind of make sure those good shooters don't show up again next year. But we had a great time. It was great talking to Mike Martz. We had him on the show back before the Super Bowl. And I didn't realize he was living back in the area now, but he's got grandkids here and children here, and just a great guy. We had a lot of fun. You know, when you're around someone like that who obviously is very famous and very well known in the sporting world, you don't want to dominate the conversation talking about football the whole time. But well, we kicked it around a little bit. I asked him if he watched the draft and things like that, and he was a very good sport about answering those questions.
That's cool.
Bo and I got a picture with him. I'll post it up on the Facebook page. For sure. All right, coming up, we'll get to Hans von Spakovsky. Ask him about that judge that got marched out of a courthouse in handcuffs.